Hello everyone, my name is Zara and this is Eyes for the Future. So I'm going to start by saying that this is a podcast to talk about certain topics that are either too taboo or need to be talked about. For example, Islamophobia, anti-Semitism, drugs and music, racism, healthcare, basically everything us snowflakes apparently complain too much about, according to, you know, people like Piers Morgan and other hostile boomers like Katie Hopkin. Anyways, I want this to be a place for all views, as well as mine. So if you're interested in taking part on this podcast, as a guest, or even we do panel discussions that are filmed, that will be interesting. Please contact us on our Instagram page, which is at Eyes for the Future. That's a pretty simple name, to be honest. Today's topic, I guess, is going to be my perspective on mental health. Now, I just want to put a disclaimer out here that if you are suffering from any mental health condition and believed to be in crisis, please contact Samaritans on 116 123, that's 116 123, or contact your local crisis team with the NHS. I think I need to start off with the basics of explaining that everyone has mental health. You know, mental health is literally translated into the mentality, or the health of your mentality. So you'll often have good mental health days and bad mental health days. This can be brought on by stress, loss, you know, something that's gone wrong in your day. But I do need to acknowledge that there is a difference between feeling anxious or sad and suffering from an anxiety disorder or depression, which generally come hand in hand at times. Now, I'm no mental health expert, but I'm coming at this from a personal perspective on mental health, so don't take my words too literally. This is just my opinion. My opinion can also change over years, so I'm just putting this out here. But this is my current opinion of how I feel at the moment. A thing I would like to initiate as well is that I work very closely with ICAMS that I have been a part of for a good, 2 years of my life, and now transitioned into adult mental health. And while I'm doing this, I am able to understand a bit more about how funding works, how systems are in place, how multidisciplinary teams work. And it's just a very intriguing thought because, you know, we see in the media recently that Caroline Flack has unfortunately passed away. In doing so, she actually took her life. So there has been a lot of talk about mental health in the media. The Sun has been basically terrorizing her for the past 3 months. And yes, her actions towards her boyfriend, I believe it's her boyfriend, were unforgivable. But I think it is important to acknowledge that people are still suffering from mental health conditions, and no one should drive them to feel isolated. And, you know, no one has the right to take another person's life, but no one should also drive someone to take their own life. And that's just my stance. So, it's been quite a whirlwind because there's been a lot of celebrities that have taken their own life. We can give Mac Miller as an example, who has overdosed and unfortunately taken his life. And a lot more celebrities that I don't know off the top of my head. But I do know that the struggles between 18 to 25 year olds in a university setting is a lot different to how I imagined it to be. I thought that once I had left CAMS, I would be integrated into a more secure position of mental health care. And just, you know, for academics to actually understand how mental health works. So it's been an interesting journey, I'd say. I feel like I've noticed some fundamental problems about transitioning from primary care and what I like to call, thrown into the bloody deep end, aka university. Most universities that I know of, or all universities, should have a mental health team, a counselling system, some sort of support. But I think a lot of them lack the support for actual students who suffer from mental health conditions that are long-term therapy needs, rather than short-term, CBTs. By the way, for anyone that doesn't know what CBT is, that is cognitive behavioural therapy. It's used to challenge your negative thoughts and beliefs, and it's a good way to eradicate some, irrational thought. But for someone who's probably grieving, or someone who's probably dealing with some long-term trauma, you would want to look at more psychoanalytical therapy that goes a lot deeper into why you feel a certain way and why you have certain triggers, and how to overcome that. So this is also not available in our counselling services in the universities that I have looked into. This is also mainly because there is a stigma attached around mental health in universities that I have noticed. In my opinion, I think there is a rhetoric that if you are going to university, you must be of, sane, or they are using that word, not me, rational thinking. Because you are in higher education, you're putting yourself in a more challenging tobacco, basically. But I feel like there's two sides to this. There are people who are trying to achieve but are not able to achieve because there isn't support there for them, or the support available isn't compatible. They're not culturally aware, they're not religiously aware, there's a lack of BAME counsellors. By the way, BAME is Black and Asian Minority Ethnic Group counsellors. By the way, I'm explaining the words because sometimes I speak in short form and it doesn't help when I'm trying to elaborate. And if you didn't know, CAMHS is Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services, and AMHS is Adult and Mental Health Services. So that's just putting it out there so you understand what I'm saying for the next few minutes anyway. But yeah. I am currently trying to work on something where we have a system in place for students where they can differentiate between anxiety, situations and anxiety disorders. So for example, if you're worried about a test, we can do a little workshop between us students to try and calm ourselves down before exams, do something fun and proactive, actually understand why you're anxious and get rid of those irrational beliefs like, oh, I'm gonna fail or something like that. We can get rid of that. However, I also want there to be a system in place in universities where they work with the NHS in supporting people with long-term needs. Now, this brings us to a bigger question about funding, about mental health in NHS systems, and how this all works. So I'm gonna go a little bit deeper into this. So the NHS is currently suffering. We've got about 2-year waiting lists in a lot of the adult mental health services. It's a lot longer, actually. So around 3 years. So by the time you're actually seen, you're out of university, you're in the working world, and you're having to deal with your mental health conditions in society where, you can't exist without working and you can't take days off for your mental health. So it's almost a challenge that is not talked about enough. I feel like people talk about mental health and like, oh, you know what, take your mental health day, go put a face mask on, go read a book, go for a walk, meditate, which are all good coping mechanisms, but they're not actually helping the rooted problem of how people feel. I'm speaking specifically from, my perspective of mental health. So someone might have a completely opposite view to how I feel. But this is genuinely how I feel, is that I feel like You're often going around in circles with the NHS because no one really talks to each other, and it's almost as if there are, we've got a section of the NHS which is the child and adolescent team, and then the other side is the adult mental health team. So it's just a bit like, it's just a bit like complicated to talk about. But on another note, there's also university teams that work on mental health, and they give six sessions over 6 weeks, or even more. They might spread it out, and that's probably the maximum that they are able to give. And it will usually just be, you know, how to help you on your exams, how to get you through university, which is all well and good, but what's the point of a service if you're not able to talk elaborately about your problems at, you know, at home, finance, anything that would kind of interrupt with your studies. So it's just an interesting thought, an interesting topic to talk about, to be honest. But yeah, this is genuinely being how I'm going to structure most of these podcasts, by the way. This is just a short introduction into mental health. We will talk about this to length. We'll talk about the NHS system into length. We'll talk about the NHS in terms of, you know, medical situations too. We'll talk about more of this later on, but this is an introductory podcast to just introduce you to our new show. So this is something that you'd get. There will be more people that will talk on here by the end of the weeks, if that makes sense. But yeah, this is Eyes for the Future, and we care about what you have to say. So please send in your topics that you want to talk about as well on our Instagram page, at Eyes for the Future, if you forgot. And also, please share this around. We'd love to get at least like 100 listeners per like week. That'd be great. You know, that's a starting point for us. You know, we need to be able to have these healthy discussions as young individuals, because if we're not talking about it, who's going to listen to us? They'll just talk over us. So this is your platform. I'm giving this out here as a platform for everyone to talk on here. So whatever your view is, whatever you think you want to talk about, come to me and I will make this happen. So yeah, peace out.